Now I'm going to be talking to Nadine Mather. She's a senior associate at Bowman's law firm, and will be joining us to discuss POPI, the POPI Act, the Protection of Personal Information, that governs, of course, how our information is shared, particularly phone numbers and the like. I don't know if you've ever gotten this unsolicited marketing and the like. Hopefully, the expansion of the POPI Act will be able to protect us. But let's hear from Nadine exactly what that means.
The lockdown conversation now on Cape Talk.
Good morning, Nadine. Welcome to Breakfast with Refilwe. Please, won't you help us understand exactly where we were before with the POPI Act and where we're headed?
Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be part of your show. Well, today is the very day on which the majority of the remaining provisions of the Protection of Personal Information Act have come into force. The country has been eagerly awaiting this date. This is not surprising, considering the increase in the number of data breaches globally. And now that POPIA is in force, there will be far-reaching implications for organisations that collect, hold, transfer, or even use individuals' personal information, as they will have to do so under certain conditions.
Okay.
Prior to POPIA, everyone had the right to privacy, which they still do in terms of the Constitution. Thus, the processing of personal information was regulated in terms of our common law. With POPIA coming into place, it gives direct access to individuals to, for example, submit complaints to the information regulator when they're receiving unsolicited communications, as you previously mentioned, or to, you know, when the information has been processed in breach of the legal conditions.
All right. And, you know, is there somewhere that will be, I suppose, available for us to see to see exactly what those legal condition breaches look like and what they are?
Yes. So the Act actually sets out a number of conditions in which organizations are required to process personal information. In this regard, there are 8 conditions which include, for example, you have to have a sufficient reason to process the information. You need to have security safeguards put into place. The information can only be retained for as long as it's required for the purpose for which it is collected. And importantly, prior to actually complying with these conditions, as much as the Act has come into force today, there will be a grace period of 12 months for organisations to ensure compliance. So they will need to get their houses in order by the 1st of July 2021 and to comply with these conditions, which are quite clearly set out in the Act.
Why 12 months, Nadine? It feels as though we've been chased down by marketers already. Like, you know, they've known that this Act was coming into place.
Yes, and actually, the Act was enacted as far back as in 2013.
That's right.
So it certainly has been a long 7-year wait for the Act to come in force. Now there's an additional 12-month period.
Okay.
The reason for the 12-month period is there are a significant number of obligations set out in the Act which companies and organizations that process information will now have to comply with.
Mm.
And even though it seems like a lengthy period of time, it may actually be too short for certain organizations to get their ducks in a row and comply. There's various obligations relating to the transfer of information to foreign countries, relating to the transfer of special personal information and processes that need to be put in place, which can actually take more than 12 months. So it is important, and organizations are encouraged to take steps now to ensure that they are compliant by 1st of July 2021.
All right. I'm going to ask you some specificities shortly and in the layman-est of terms that you can fathom. But first, I want to just get a question here. Is this a case of leaky information transfer, or is it what many of us suspect, which is that data gets sold to organizations? Our information.
POPIA will regulate both instances.
Mm-hmm.
POPIA will regulate the processing, which includes the collection, the transfer, the use of. It will impact data breaches where there has been an authorized access to someone's information, in which case, under POPIA, you will have to be notified as the data subject that someone has access to information.
Right.
For example, the recent infamous, famous Facebook data breach in which over 87 million users' information was leaked.
Right.
In those scenarios, you will now get direct notification that someone has access to information. If there are details as to the identity of that person, you are required to disclose it to the individual. So there will be more transparency in this regard. It will also apply to, as you said, the selling of information, the collection of details on directories, where, you know, before you could just include that the details many years ago, and there's been no sort of process followed up to get your consent to those details. That will now be strictly monitored in terms of POPIA, including specifically what you mentioned, your direct marketing,
yes,
which, you know, by electronic communications, which a lot of consumers get irritated about. But thankfully, POPIA will actually deal with that issue head on.
Excellent. And does that also mean robot calls now stop? You know, Dumelang Bakhaetso from Musimai Mane, unsolicited. We, of course, he's left the organization now.
Yes, so, well, interestingly, you know, to date, in terms of your Consumer Protection Act and some other legislation, there's been a sort of opt-out approach, as you see, where individuals, you know, you receive SMSs, phone calls, even posts, where they continue to do so until you find the little small letters at the bottom of the marketing communication, which allows you to opt out.
Absolutely.
POPIA, in this regard, sort of adopts an opt-in approach, but specifically only relating to electronic communication. So automatic calling machines, SMSs or email, in which case an organization will have to obtain your consent, your prior consent, to actually using those means for purposes of direct marketing.
Wonderful.
And they can only approach you once to do so. The exception to this is if you are an existing customer. So, for example, you bank with a certain bank, you are their customer, they can use direct marketing on you to sort of sell similar services, but you can then opt out. So that is one exception. But
okay,
when it comes to someone phoning you or sending you posts, POPIA will not apply and the Consumer Protection Act will still be enforced and you will have to opt out in those scenarios.
Got you. I have a question from a listener, Renee, saying, "Hi, Dufila, I wonder if any of your listeners may have experienced this. I have a Vodacom contract. On Saturday, I received an SMS from Vodacom to advise that insurance had been activated on my phone due to the increase in prices on smartphones because of COVID. The amount of 225 Rand per month, I had not requested this, and further, my phone is already insured. Upon calling Vodacom, I was informed that this was a mistake and I should call on Monday. I did. No action. This morning," she says, "I received an SMS from Vodacom providing a link to my new insurance policy from CompCell Insurance. Seems my first amount goes off this month. Surely this is not legal." I don't know if this is an example of, you know, information sharing within related organizations and then unfortunately signing her up.
It is certainly an example of how they can use your personal information to sell similar products to what they're saying. You know, you're an existing customer of the bank, you're selling the insurance now. The issue that they've already granted the insurance in terms of an agreement is a contravention, I would assume, of your Consumer Protection Act. And that obviously is not legal in the circumstances. An agreement would need her consent to take on that additional service.
Right.
But surely in terms of using her information to contact her about these similar products, they are allowed to do so.
Okay.
However, if it was another bank, for example, you know, Nedbank, that was contacting her about products or services, they would not be allowed to do so, as she's not currently a customer. They would only be allowed to ask her for a consent once, and if she does not grant it, they would not be allowed to contact her by electronic means going forward.
A last one, Nadine. I mean, I've heard that there, for example, there are these sites where one can sort of do a blanket opt-out, where you kind of remove from an entire database. I mean, is it binding if a person phones me and I say, remove me from your database, or if I go to a website and type in my name and then delete? I mean, is that something that actually works, or is that actually almost baiting more information?
But it is something that works. There is specifically provision in POPIA for, as we mentioned, direct marketing. Also, your directory, your information is put on as a result of you being a subscriber to a specific mailing system. When you opt out, they are required to remove your information from that system. Mm-hmm. And it goes back to the principle of retaining information for as long as the purpose for which it was collected is valid. Once someone opts out, the purpose there is no longer valid and they cannot actually keep your information by law unless there's another specific piece of legislation that provides for a longer retention period.
Right.
However, in practice, as you know, I'm sure you've clicked the opt-out option and the next day you've received further communication. This is specifically what POPIA is going to try and address, or at least one of the issues. And in these circumstances, you can, as an individual, lodge a complaint directly with the information regulator. you know, to date, you haven't had a direct remedy, and your remedy really has been fallen short of the standard globally where you could bring an action in court as a result of your breach to a right to privacy, which was an extremely costly and lengthy process. But with POPIA, you can submit a complaint to the information regulator. The form required to submit the complaint has already been drafted in terms of the regulation, so it would just be a principle of filling it out and submitting it. And the hope is that, you know, the more forms that are submitted and complaints, the information regulator is required to take action in that regard and investigate it.
Brilliant. Nadine Mather, thank you so much. Senior Associate at Bowman's Law Firm, giving us the nitty-gritty with respect to the POPIA, which is effective as of today.